Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beyond the Matrix with Rod Bryant and Jerry Gordon here on Israel News Talk Radio. Unplug, strap yourself in, because you are about to move beyond the Matrix.
You have officially arrived at the Matrix on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm Rod Bryant, along with my amazing co-host, staring at me with a deadpan stare, Jerry. Jerry, the G-Man Gordon, is here with me. We're excited about today's show. Each week, we try to bring you the most relevant, cogent arguments and discussions about politics and about geopolitical situations with the state of Israel, the nation of Israel. But today, our focus is going to be on American politics, and specifically about the, I'll let you word it because I might be politically incorrect. Why don't you give us a title, what you would focus on the show today?
Basically, this show with our dear friend, Rabbi Jonathan Hausman, is all about the foundations of the immorality of the left. And why do we say that? Because we have a new Congress out there, and we have people in that Congress and their allies elsewhere who are engaged in rampant anti-Semitism and racism.
Now, Jerry, you and I are not saying that everybody that is liberal is immoral. We want to make a distinction here between, and this is my philosophical view and a few others, and I think maybe you, we do not believe that all liberals are leftists. As a matter of fact, I think that you and I would agree that the leftist, radical leftist, progressive politicians of the United States and maybe in Israel has sort of left the liberal, don't you think?
Absolutely, positively. They left the gold standard of liberalism established by the English philosopher John Stuart Mill in the middle of the 19th century.
Right. And so what we would encourage you to do on this show today when you listen is to test what we say. Don't just take what we say as the truth. We want you to go test it and go back. And there are great documents, for example, by Mr. Mill that really describes what true liberal thought is and how it is actually morphed into something that, to be honest with you, is nothing near that early description. So you're listening to Beyond the Matrix here on Israel News Talk Radio, officially sponsored by TorahLearningChannel.com. Make sure you go 24 hours, 6 days a week, 24 hours of Torah learning for your pleasure at TorahLearningChannel.com. Jerry and I will be right back after these messages here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Jonathan Dor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind,
every Thursday.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
We are back from the first segment of a break. I'm Rod Bryant, along with Jerry Gordon and our illustrious guest, Rabbi Jonathan Hausman. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you coming on. I realize putting up with us sometimes could be a pain in the derriere, but you're a delight to have on. You bring a smile to our face every time. But today we have a really hot topic that I want to address, and I know Jerry and I have been talking about it for at least 2 weeks, and yep. I'm going to knock it over to Jerry to do an introduction on this subject matter, and let's just go ahead and pull the covers off of this toxic topic.
Well, I just want to notify our listeners that Jonathan Hausman and I have been family friends for over three decades.
Yeah, 33 years.
Years. And it all arose because of common membership in a synagogue in Fairfield, Connecticut. But we also have been, more importantly, involved in pushing back at one of the topics we're going to discuss today, and that's Sharia law in America, having successfully fought and passed a comprehensive law protecting the human civil rights of people in the state of Florida back in 2014, John?
Yeah, 2013, 2014, somewhere around there.
That's right. And John went on to do a reprieve of that stuff in places like Texas, ironically. But what we're really driving at is that the new Democratic majority in the House is riddled with people who are obsessed about political correctness and, more importantly, have invited in to their ranks, although they've been elected by their constituents, two Muslim women, Rashida Tlaib of Michigan and Ilhan Omar of Minnesota. And controversy has stalked them, including using an inappropriate word with the initials MF against the sitting president of the United States. So I'll turn it to you, John. What is driving this controversy in this new Congress, and how upset should Jews and fellow Americans be about this development?
And I'll tell you, Jerry and Rod, I really don't know where to begin with all of this, because it is a bottomless pit. So why don't I start here, and then we'll take the conversation as it goes. There are a tremendous number of new faces in the current Congress, and that's on both sides of the aisle. You have, you know, the two women that you mentioned, Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. They're certainly not the only new Democrats that were in Congress. There are many, many others. And on the Republican side, for all the losses, you also have new faces that dot the Republican landscape. Probably at this point in time, most notably, is Lieutenant Commander Dan Crenshaw down in Rod, you're next to the
Yes,
woods,
he's my congressman.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he is. He's
okay.
The real thing.
You know, he's a great guy. And, yeah, like anybody's going to, you know, try to verbally or intellectually take down somebody who's the lieutenant commander in the Navy SEALs.
Yeah. And look, highly educated and highly educated from the Kennedy School of Law. So, I mean, this guy's not an idiot.
Right. I mean, his undergraduate degree is from Tufts. His graduate degree, I believe, is from Harvard. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not a dumb guy.
Right.
So we have these new faces on both sides of the aisle, both in the House and both in the Senate. The two women that were mentioned earlier, you know, they're the first two Muslim women elected to Congress, you know, and you know, you have Ilhan Omar in the Minnesota 5th and Rashid Tlaib, and I can't remember what district, and Michigan. The only thing that really comes to mind with regard to that, it's the poorest of all of Michigan's congressional districts. What went curiously unmentioned in all of the, I would say, fawning and flattering post-election coverage was who these two people replaced. I mean, and I'm just speaking from a personal point of view here. You know, you have Ilhan Omar, she replaced Keith Ellison.
Right.
You know, so if you take a look at what's happening politically in the Congressional Fifth, I don't know why people are so surprised at it. You know, and Keith Ellison, irrespective of where he is today,
he's attorney general in Minnesota, by the way.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of faith and whatnot and who he follows, no matter where he is today, there is no arguing. You can't argue from a factual point of view that this fellow was a former acolyte of Louis Farrakhan,
right,
who is, no matter what is said, whatever, he is one of the most notorious peddlers of anti-Semitic rhetoric in this country today.
Yes.
Okay, and he also has some unbelievable notions, exotic notions, weird notions about Jews and the Jewish people. You know, Keith Ellison. I mean, at one point, I remember cataloging some of the statements he made. You know, Israel has hypnotized the world.
Right.
Okay. Ilhan Omar, may Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel. Mm. Okay. Along with her, you have Rashida Tlaib. Now, she's the daughter of immigrants to this country. Okay, fine. She's the daughter of so-called Palestinian immigrants to this country. Okay. She wants to cut aid to Israel because supporting it doesn't fit the values of our country. Listen, we can argue it. You know, it's just like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who says, you know, we need a higher tax rate because of morality. Well, okay. Well, whose morality are you talking about?
Right.
You know, what? You know, I mean, this is what does this mean? Doesn't fit the values of our countries, you know, and it's interesting. It's interesting. David Steinberg, the noted journalist, okay, he identified, he listed over 100, I don't remember the exact number, but he identified over 100 news stories written in the aftermath of the election this past November, specifically with regard to Ilhan Omar, and not one of those 100 plus news stories, not one single mention that she believed that Jews possessed mind control abilities. Huh. Not one expose mentioned that she believes that Israel was evil from its core.
And yet she, at the core level, believes those things.
Believes it. And moreover, Rod, not just believe those things, but let me ask you, you know, and from a rhetorical question, who in the Democratic Party sought to distance himself, herself, or the party itself from this kind of rhetoric? You know, and to me, somebody who has labored in this field with Jerry for a long time as colleagues, you know, you have the anti-defamation thing, which just seems to be partisan at this point. They're tasked. Their
right.
mission
right.
is to stop anti-Jewish libel and hatred, to combat it and to fight it. Okay. But in reality, what do? They hyperventilate over every far-flung right-wing mm-hmm. bigot with a handful of supporters.
Right.
But didn't pay any attention to Ilhan Omar and the rostrum from which she spoke as a state legislator in Minnesota. And now the perch that she will occupy as a congresswoman and the current Congress.
We have two minutes. We have 2 minutes left in this segment, and I want to ask this question, and we can continue in the next part. But how detrimental is this new Congress going to be for the U.S.-Israeli relationships and how we accomplish the things that we have monumentally accomplished in Middle East policy in the last 5 months?
Well, look, you have to. I mean, it's very interesting, some of the stuff that's taking place. You know, there is a bill that was just introduced to the Senate. I think it was on Friday. It might have been on Thursday to solidify the 10-year military funding agreement. Yeah. Between the United States and Israel in a much more formal fashion than it already has been codified. It's a 10-year agreement. They want to put it into more of the form of law at this point in time. So that'll be okay. I mean, what you may have is you may have some committees that are going to be involved with some kind of investigatory actions vis-a-vis U.S.-Israel relations. But you know something? The United States House of Representatives doesn't set executive policy. The president does.
Right.
All right. It is a diffuse in terms of the wheels of governance here in the United States. It's the people's house. Okay. It's offset by the state's house, which is the Senate. And then you have the executive branch over there. So, you know, you have all these centers of powers. I think that, You may have a lot of talk, but when it comes to foreign policy, that's the purview of the administration. So, and I don't think there are going to be many changes to
that. Okay. Well, in some way, it's very comforting to hear those words, but there's the other side. And when we come back from the break, I'd like to examine this. And that is, this constant sort of barrage of negative anti-Semitism, pro-Palestinian views is going to come out of the current Congress, a Democratic Congress. How is that going to affect possibly the shaping of people's opinion of the state of Israel and the Jewish people? And it's something I'm really curious of whether maybe it's not going to have any effect at all. But we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. You're listening to Beyond the Matrix here on Israel News Talk Radio, sponsored by Torah Learning Channel at TorahLearningChannel.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this message.
Hi everyone, this is Andrea Simintov from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintov, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Back from the break, thank you so much for sticking around. You're listening to Beyond the Matrix, and we are sponsored by the Torah Learning Channel. You can find it on the internet, TorahLearningChannel.com, or on YouTube, TorahLearningChannel.com. We were talking, and we are still talking, to Rabbi Yonatan Hausman. And the question I asked you right before the break was, we understand that the demographics of the Democratic far left has shifted so far to the left. I'm sure that they're probably leaving some of their liberal people behind them. But the blatant anti-Semitism that is expressed in the pro-Palestinian rhetoric that is constantly being hammered on, how is this going to affect, even though you're saying it's not going to really affect our national relationship, Israel's relationship with the United States because of the executive branch, but how is it going to have, or will it have an assuaging effect on the populace itself and their attitude toward Judaism or toward Jews and Israel itself?
Well, look, I think what ends up happening is you take a look at what's going on, and Jew hating has just become too normal on the left.
It's the new it's the new cool, right? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and you know, how are you gonna fight it if you have, listen, and I say this without any malice or any, you know, any anger, but how do you deal with it if you have liberal Jews keeping mum about it?
Right.
You know, you know, I notice this, and I'm sure you guys do too.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you have left of center Jews speak out about white nationalists.
Right.
But where are they on anti-Semitism when it arises from their own side of the political spectrum?
Or when they compare Jews to white nationalists. As,
yeah.
First of all, the whole idea
that
of white...
way, listen, Tamika Mallory just did that this past week.
I know it.
You know,
I mean, think about what an oxymoron that is to say Jews are white nationalists, or just to say white nationalists, period. That either we're nationalist or not. But to say that you're one category is you're not a nationalist. You're white, whatever. Does that make sense?
Listen, and if you go to Israel, we used to rent space to an evangelical church that planted its Boston church real out of my synagogue. Okay. And I remember meeting with the staff one time and we're discussing about Jews. And I just said to them, okay, what does a Jew look like? Okay. And okay, fine. So they said, well, the Jews look like you. Well, I said, well, that's because most of you are from Detroit.
Right. And they talk you like know? You because most
said,
of them are from.
I said, have any of you been to? No. And I said to the pastoral staff, look, I mean, it was a congenial conversation. Listen, my wife and I, we're socially friendly with a lot of people on the pastoral staff.
Right.
Okay. And my response was, well, you only say that because you're in the context of the United States. I said, but I'm telling you, if I took you to Israel and sat you on a bus, you'll see what Jews really look like. I said, and there were Jews from Ethiopia.
Right.
As dark skin as they can be. I said, and then you take a look at Jews with the olive skin from the North African basin. you know, and then the other kinds of complexions for the Jews that come from Iraq and Iran and things of that sort. I said,
and now India.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it.
And you know something, the DNA testing, they have the same genetic markers as Jews.
Right.
Okay. I mean, or from the Ethiopian community, the numbers of Jews who have the markers for the Kohanim, the priests. Okay, just every bit as identifiable as the Jews that look like us.
So when we hear that statement that Jews are white nationalists, what do you think is the best way to sort of knock that in the britches and get it over with? I mean, it's a ludicrous idea to you and I, but to an average person who has no idea, will go, maybe that's true.
Well, I can only tell you what I think when I hear it. When I think I hear it, I say, oh, left-wing bigotry.
Right. Or what I also think is
the... You know, crucial, what could you be thinking? That's a crucial element of your ideology. Oh, geez. You know, that's a... Oh, are you talking about isolated anomalies? Or as I said to a cousin of on my wife's side of the family, who said, well, how could you think like that? You know, you went to college. And my response was, geez, that's a great intelligent retort. You know? You know, I mean, how do you? Yeah, you know, I think it's best. You know, it's funny. You take a look. Who on the left has gone over to Africa to try to free blacks who've been enslaved?
Zero.
And then you have a hero, somebody that Jerry and I know. Someone that Jerry and I know very well, Dr. Charles Jacobs. Okay, who is the co-founder of the American anti-slavery group, who on his own dime went over to Sudan to manumit slaves, you know, or the comments that are made to kids on campus. My kid overheard this, as a matter of fact, when she was a college student. Okay, well, you know, white privilege, you know, well, what does that mean? Does that mean that, you know, you didn't work as hard as I do? I mean, which was my daughter's response.
John, you know, you mentioned earlier Linda Sarsour, the notorious Linda Sarsour, and Tamika Mallory,
yeah.
Yes. And they were prominent as, quote, co-founders and organizers of the famous Women's March that occurred the day following President Trump's inauguration. And now what's happening is there's pushback from local groups in places like Chicago, New Orleans, Boston, even way out in Eureka, California, saying this anti-Semitic garbage and your association essentially with people like Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam essentially is something we don't want to be associated with. So you've had cancellation of these marches. Is that evidence that this stuff is finally sinking in? Or not?
The short answer is I would hope so, but time will tell. Time will tell. I wish I could be more optimistic. It seems that these progressives can always find something wrong, can always find something objectionable by whatever actions people right of center take, or in this case with the people you're mentioning, actions that the Jewish people in Israel take, whether it's militarily, whether it's politically, whether it's socially, whether it's economically, you know, and. Ultimately, we have to see if the people who are leading the Jewish exit from this movement, whether they're still reading from the same playbook as the Tamika Mallorys and the Linda Sarsours and the other women who seemingly shepherded Jewish participation out the door.
Well,
I will tell you this, that in my view, the critiques that they heap upon Jews in Israel are just, what else? Listen, I'm up in the Northeast right now, in New England right now. It's overcast. It's dreary. Winter is now finally settling in. You know, it's a perfect metaphor for the arguments that these people bring forth. They're just drearily consistent.
Right.
They're also drearily off base.
Right.
You know, they're both.
But
if they're going to play by the same playbook, then what's going to happen is they'll reformulate, and you know, we'll still be back where we are.
Right.
A lot of this is that, you know, it's shop worn as well, but Trump derangement syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that Jerry and I have had several discussions on the whole women's movement itself, that feminism has been completely hijacked by this anti-Semitism as well as the LGBTQ agenda as well. It's no longer about women's rights. It matter of fact, I don't even know that it really even looks anything like the women's movement of the early 70s at all.
You know, and I think that people who were involved, I mean, really intellectually involved, the cognitive warriors of the movement back in the 70s would agree with you.
Right. I'm really hoping that, as Jerry alluded to before, it's a possibility that a self-fulfilling, destructive prophecy about the women's movement. But at the same time, I agree with you. I don't feel very optimistic that it's going to decimate it. I just think they'll reformulate. They've got the same playbook. They're not going to change the playbook. They're just going to go back and shift focus. This is the classic sort of progressive left way of dealing in politics. As long as they can continue to hammer the agenda, it doesn't matter how they shift it. They're just going to do it. They are able to morph.
They are, and it becomes ever more easily, it's more easily to be done if you don't have some kind of investigative track to uncover, to shine some sunlight as a disinfectant on this. So if you have a media that has a track record of tenaciously ignoring, and in the present instance, you know, this anti-Semitism that some would say is creeping into the Democratic Party politics. I would say leaping. It's not creeping.
Right, it's leaping. And it's been, they have open arms. You and I both realize that they have never refuted any of the ideas that many of the politicians have had their photograph with Louis Farrakhan, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, look, they make no bones about it anymore. And that's creepy to me.
And there's more than enough information. There are more than enough photographs to show you how many people. And for example, the Congressional Black Caucus have been caught with photographs.
Absolutely. Look, we got to go to a break. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away. We're talking to Rabbi Jonathan Hausman. We'll be back right after these messages.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
We live in the age of information, but not inspiration. If you're like me, you're looking to be inspired, to reach higher, to connect more, and to grow. Well, if you want to get warm, you need to stand close to the fire. And if you want to catch fire, you need to stand close enough to get hit by the sparks. Join me, Penina Taylor, as we walk with people who have embarked on a spiritual journey towards Torah. We'll uncover what started them on their journey and what truths they discovered along the way. So prepare to be inspired as we take a leap of faith every Sunday at 5 p.m. on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
We are back from the break. Thank you so much for sticking around. We're in the third and final segment of Beyond the Matrix. We wanted to remind you, we are sponsored by Torah Learning Channel. Torah Learning Channel is found on the internet, TorahLearningChannel.com. You can also find it on YouTube and watch it every day, 24 hours a day, 6 days a week. The best Torah teachers in English and available on one solid source. Jerry, why don't we kick it over to you and let's start our next final line of questioning.
Well, but during the break, we were talking about the fact that the term liberal is misused by the media and in general. And it harkens back to the 19th century to John Stuart Mill's famous essay on liberty, which is not the same as FDR's New Deal or even essentially anything that's in the Democratic National Program, so to speak. I'm talking with a big D in that regard. But the thing that impresses me the most is that the newspapers and TV channels of record in this country allow this stuff that is predominantly racist and anti-Semitic almost at the same time to percolate through print or on cable TV airwaves in that regard. And the question is, what has happened in this country to permit that to occur? It is the responsibility of the editors of the editorial pages, essentially, to deal with that matter. And it's also the responsibility of the general managing editors of newspapers to make sure that news is not used to editorialize.
Right.
What are your comments, guys?
Well, I'll tell you, it's the first time in years that somebody's mentioned John Stuart Mill to me. The essay you're referring to, Jerry, I think it's this 1859 essay entitled On Liberty.
That's correct.
Okay. And how many people have even read it, let alone can date it, okay? And what Mills did, what John Stuart Mill did, is he applied his ethical system, okay, dealing with the relationship between society, and his ethical system was based around utilitarianism. Okay, here's the old philosophy major coming out in me now. Okay, and he applied that ethical system to state and society. So really what he was trying to do within that essay is establish some kinds of standards for the relationship between authority and liberty. Okay, and his big thing was, the individual and the state. Okay. He had issues. He had criticisms dealing with, democratic ideals that resulted in the tyranny of the majority. As did, by the way, the constitutional forefathers of the United States. They saw, Adams wrote about this, Jefferson wrote about this, Alexander Hamilton wrote about this, that true democracies end up devolving into tyranny rather rapidly and don't really last that long. So, along comes Mills in the middle of the 19th century, and he's discussing the basic liberties of individuals, objections, legitimate objections to government intervention, the relationship of the individual to society. This is a lot different, and I think you properly, Jerry, I think you properly note that. This is a lot different than... It wasn't just FDR's concept of the relationship between the individual to the state, but Woodrow Wilson's vision of the individual to the state. And I would even argue it goes back to its beginnings within the federal system to Teddy Roosevelt. And to have checks on that, you need a press that's going to do, you need a media that's going to do what it's there to do as the fourth estate. Getting back to Ilhan Omar, for example, she wants to, part of her policy portfolio was to normalize relations with Iran, the Holocaust denying terror state of Iran. But where do you see reporters reporting that fact? Where are they doing that? And this post-election and now post-inauguration for the current Congress.
But why the silence?
Where are they doing any of this kind of stuff? The media has a track record of tenaciously ignoring anti-Semitism creeping into the Democratic Party politics from the left.
But why the silence? I mean, look, if someone were to be using the same kind of rhetoric toward any other race group of people in this country, there would be an outcry. in the media.
Without question. Without question. Can you imagine if somebody hurled some of these accusations against Barack Obama, irrespective of what you thought of him as a president,
right,
good or bad? You know, people would be, you know, rhetorically hung out to dry.
Right.
Hung out to dry. But it seems that we're living in an era of this multicultural, this era of multiculturalism, political correctness.
Right.
Okay. Which perforce seems to mean that if you're not part of some kind of smaller identity group, then you are an oppressor ab initio, right from the start, right out of the box. So you can't claim that somebody who is part of an identity group, you can't claim that they're anti-Semites because it's a Western construction. Anything that deals with a Judeo-Christian Western construction has to be uprooted. And by the way, that's part of what the Frankfurt School of Educational Theory was teaching in Germany in the 1920s and was brought over here by John Dewey.
Look, before we go any further, because this is going to be important, most people have no clue about what you're talking about. If you could take, I mean, we're at 7 minutes in, we've got to 11:30 in time here. Talk about this. How did we get to this place? Because that is really important.
How did we get to this place? Well, look, you know,
Because it shouldn't shock us as to why we're here. Should.
Listen, I have to tell you, remember my father who graduated college in 1948, came back from the war, World War II, graduated University of Connecticut in 1948. And my father was almost thrown out of school, okay, for exercising a right to speech.
This was in 48.
Yeah, 48. He told a joke. Okay, by the way, the joke was about the food service at UConn. Okay, called in front of the deans, a whole inquiry is almost thrown off campus. And I remember him explaining this, just telling us this. And I said, how did that happen? He said, well, you do understand that these kinds of professors with this kind of orientation were educated in the 20s and 30s by these professors that ended up coming over fleeing Germany. And they took that kind of multicultural political correctness, okay, theory of eugenics and whatnot, and just put it into play right on the college campus.
And just so, remind the audience, because that was one of the three predominant thought groups in Germany that the Nazis obviously ended up trampling out, but that was one of the three thought groups, right?
Right, right.
So now our
And people need to know, the Frankfurt School and the Nazis fought one another. When the Nazis were fighting the communists, they were fighting a lot of those people that founded the Frankfurt School of Educational Theory.
Wow. So
that's what they were doing.
So now what we have is this Frankfurt philosophical view of education has now developed a progressive left-wing thought and liberal thought process in young people and young adults who are now entering into politics, and it's basically this run amok is what you're saying.
Right. Yeah, and you know, what is it? It used to be with regard to political, you know, it's very interesting. I just finished reading an article about the Constitution, the arguments that went into the formulation of the Constitution, how the Electoral College is the way it is, how come we have three branches of government,
right,
how come our branches of government are bicameral, not unicameral, that kind of thing.
Right.
You know, all those kinds of issues. And it's very interesting. Before all this took place, before there were political parties. I don't know if you guys
really,
I don't know how many people really understand that.
They don't.
Nobody was a Republican. Nobody was a Democrat. Nobody was a Whig. Nobody was a this. Nobody was a that. Or a Democratic Republican back at the time. I mean, nobody was anything. So who did they represent? You either represented, you know, the people from a democratic level, or which is what the larger states wanted, Pennsylvania, New York, Virginia, or you represented small states who were more concerned about maintaining states' rights, you know, and the power of the states and all of this.
Right.
So there was this balance that took place. How many people even know that? You know, so you have people who say, let's get rid of the Electoral College because for the second time in this millennia now, or this century now,
right,
you have a president who was elected by way of a minority of the popular vote. Well, but if you understand that we're a constitutional republic, we're not a democracy, then all this makes sense. The
right.
the process worked exactly as it's supposed to work. Okay? So that means that New Hampshire is just as important as pick a state.
Absolutely. Now we're coming up close on time. 45 seconds. What would you suggest a person, our listener, do to educate themselves to be able to know, frankly, what's going on?
Read.
You.
And then when you're finished with that, read some more. Okay. No, I'm serious.
Right.
I mean, people don't read. The attention span today is the attention span of a gnat. Okay. You know, it's politicians. They have to get their soundbite in, and they have 7 to 15 seconds to do it.
Right.
Nobody's in it for the long haul.
And most politicians sort of bank on the fact that most people have no clue about their history,
right?
No clue about what went in the news cycle 15 years ago, much less 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you something. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm telling you, okay? But I'm on the computer. I'm with books.
Absolutely.
And this is why I'm able to talk about this.
Absolutely. We really appreciate it. Rabbi, thank you so much for your input, your commentary. Jerry, you and I are going to say shalom to everyone. We'll see you this time next week.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling from the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.